Well, good afternoon, everyone. I'd like to thank Dennis for his sermonette. It fits right in. No, really, I had something else I was really going to talk about over the last few weeks, and this week I've had an opportunity to really kind of think about, you know, a lot of the events that we've been praying about in the congregation over the last few months, you know, with babies passing away and people killed in car accidents and Rob Ross passing away and a lot of the various things that we've been praying about, some of which we prayed about again today. And it got me to really thinking, you know, just in prayer and meditation and just thinking about all of that, it got me to kind of come up with a number of observations. And these aren't really my observations. I'm sure they are things that you've thought about as well. But they're certainly things that I think God wants us to pay attention to and to be aware of, because certainly it's relevant to how we live our life. It's relevant to how we approach our dealings with not only various individuals, but, you know, how we approach God about events that happen either in our lives or in other people's lives. And certainly, you know, there are times when we are faced with, you know, a loss that if it's, you know, a friend or an acquaintance or a family member, the closer we are to the situation, the more intense it is for us. And certainly, you know, in those times, we may begin to question our faith or why is God doing this, if in fact he is doing it. And so, you know, I wanted to take a moment and look at just a few scriptures today and kind of pass on at least, you know, what my observations have come to in the last few weeks about a lot of this. Turn over to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. As you know, Solomon, who was the wisest man who has ever lived, and certainly in part that came from the blessing of God, spent a lot of time, you know, writing the Proverbs, compiling the Proverbs, compiling Ecclesiastes, and trying to pass on the wisdom that God had given him. And in chapter 9 and verse 11, he says, "I have seen something else under the sun. The race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor does food come to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favor to the learned." And certainly, you know, 3,000 years ago when he lived, he understood the same thing that my dad used to teach me, and that is that life is not fair. That's just very simply stated, life isn't fair. And we, you know, we see books and we hear discussions about, you know, why do bad things happen to good people? And we ask those questions, and we've been praying about that for the last 6 weeks, along with other, you know, other prayers that we have given in this congregation about why do bad things happen to good people, at least as we perceive them. And Solomon points out here that this something else that he had seen, not only is that life not fair, but time and chance happen to all people. Now think about that for a second. You know, let's break it down and look at time. We understand that none of us lives forever. Time passes, and as time passes, so does life. None of us lives forever. And certainly that's the way God created us. And we can look back over 6,000 years of history and certainly see that. But also, chance happens to all of us as well. And certainly that's what it looks like to us living on the physical plane. I don't believe personally that it was God's will in the sense that he made an active or a willful choice or act to cause a tire to blow out on an icy road for Brad Cox and the Cox family. I don't think that was a willful act of God. Now, he certainly allowed it to happen. And the result of that act is that Brad Cox is dead, and his wife and his 8 daughters are victims of chance. Time and chance happens to all of us. But certainly what God is looking at is not the event. He's looking at the reaction to the event. What is going to be the result of Brad Cox's passing? You know, what is going to be the response of the family? What's going to be the response of the friends? What's going to be the response to that event that happened? Time and chance happens to all of us, and we're all going to be faced with that at some point. If we live a long and fruitful life, or if for whatever reason a chance occurrence happens, whether it's a tire blowing out on an icy road, it's a deer running out in front of us, it's a genetic time bomb that's in our body that we simply don't know is there. It's a chance occurrence. And as a result of that event, whatever that event might be, what is our response to that event going to be? Now, that leads me to the second thought, and that is this. In the mid-1800s, Louis Pasteur, who you all know it for his discovery and invention of pasteurization, and who was discovering germ theory of disease at the time, he made a statement, and he said, in the field of observation, chance favors the prepared mind. Now, he was specifically thinking about his scientific research in trying to observe what happened in the natural occurrence of the growth of genes and bacteria. And he realized that if you haven't prepared your mind in terms of making observation, in other words, you were prepared to observe so that you were paying attention what you might see, you might miss it. Now, specifically with respect to the scientific method and the observations, that's certainly true. But I think that's true in life, that chance favors the prepared mind. If any of you were ever a Boy Scout, you know that the Boy Scout motto is be prepared, because you simply don't know what's going to happen. And we see that really in all kinds of things throughout life. We see it in parents raising their children, and we just prayed for Ethan, you know, that his parents would be guided by God to prepare him for life, to give him education and guidance in order that he be prepared when he becomes an older child, a teenager, a young adult. We watch it when we watch basketball games or football games or baseball games. We see athletes who have trained and practiced and prepared so that when they get in the big game, that training and that discipline takes over, and whatever they are faced with, certainly a series of probably random events, that preparation takes over, and then chance is favored. And we see it certainly in the training of the military. Any of you that have ever been in the military went through boot camp and all kinds of training, and the whole purpose of that is so that in the event that you are in combat, and the stress of that situation becomes too much, the discipline begins to take over so that whatever the mission is accomplished. That is the whole purpose of training, and it's the whole purpose of being prepared and having a prepared mind. That's really what Solomon observed. If we go back and read Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 1, he says, "So I reflected on all of this and concluded that the righteous and the wise and what they do are in God's hands. But no man knows whether love or hate awaits him. All share a common destiny, the righteous and the wicked, the good and the bad, the clean and the unclean, those who offer sacrifices and those who do not." We are all human beings, and we are all subject to time and chance. And Solomon certainly observed that. And as a result of that, you know, there are things that simply happen to us unexpectedly. But Solomon also understood, and let's go back to chapter 12, where he says in verse 1, "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come." Solomon is suggesting, he's recommending, he's imploring, he's pleading with, from all of the background and wisdom that he has, that we remember our Creator early in the process, in the days of our youth, before the days of trouble come. In other words, prepare our mind so that when chance happens and time happens, we're prepared. And certainly, I think Solomon recognized that. He, at the end of the chapter, in verse 12, he says, "Of the making of books there is no end, and much study wearies the body. Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil." And so he's giving us a hint into the future, and he's pointing us to the fact that we should simply prepare ourselves. Have a prepared mind, because we don't simply know what the events are going to result from time and chance. And certainly, if you read further in Ecclesiastes 9, you know, he points out that no man knows their time. No one knows when it's going to happen. It can happen in a blink. I know I hit a deer on Lansing Road out here, not far from our house, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago. And when I hit it, I was doing 50 miles an hour. I hit it right square between the headlights, and I couldn't figure out why I couldn't see. There was a bang, and then I couldn't see anything. I didn't have control of the car. I couldn't see, and I couldn't figure out what was going on. It was so fast. Well, all the airbags had gone off. The cabin of the car was filled with smoke from the airbags going off. And part of the reason I couldn't see is simply because the airbags were, the front ones were down in front of me. It was that fast. I never saw the deer. It was a bang, and I couldn't see. Time and chance. And it's that quick. We may never know until we're resurrected what happens. But we are asked and we are directed by Solomon here to be prepared, prepare ourselves, and live our life in a manner, and certainly that's what Jesus Christ instructed us, live our life in a manner that it might be over tomorrow. We certainly don't hope that that's the case. I mean, you know, we pray for protection and we pray for, you know, guidance and But at the same time, you know, Jesus pointed out in Matthew, I think it was, is it 24? Matthew 20, 24, when he talks about the tribulation, you know, he says, pray that when you flee, it's not on a Sabbath or in the winter. He didn't say, pray that you don't flee. It may happen. And we just never know. And so be prepared. Now, yesterday I was on the road most of the day yesterday. I was traveling. And in the morning I had Glenn Beck on. I have Sirius Radio in my truck, and so I listened to a variety of different things. And I was listening to Glenn Beck yesterday. And Glenn Beck had a guest on, Rabbi Daniel Lappin, who was a very good friend of his. And Rabbi Lappin is an Orthodox Jewish rabbi. His three brothers are rabbis, and his father was a rabbi, and his sister married a rabbi. So he comes from a long line of people involved in teaching Judaism. But he has formed a group called the American Alliance of Jews and Christians. And he does a lot of teaching across the lines between Judaism and Christianity. And they were talking about a variety of different topics. And Glenn asked him, he said, you know, I've got a question I want to ask you. And I don't remember exactly what the question was, but it was kind of something like, what is your outlook for the current world political and social condition? And if you've watched the news of late and you see the terrorist attacks and you see everything that's going on around the world, it looks pretty grim. And his reply really took me off guard. He said something like, well, in his eyes, it looks very promising and it has a lot of potential. And it kind of took Glenn Beck by surprise. He was a little bit stunned by the answer. And then the rabbi went on to explain. He said, you know, when you look at nature and you look at physics, when you see great differentials in things, in situations like that, there's always great potential. And as an engineer, it struck me, and he explained a little bit. He talked about hydraulics, particularly of dams. And he said, if you have a dam and you have a high headwater and a low tailwater, the difference between the two represents a huge potential to do work, because you've got that potential energy that's captured in that differential. And if you use that to turn turbines, you can grind flour, you can turn generators, you can generate electricity, you can do an incredible amount of work. And he said the same thing exists in electricity, that when you have these huge differences in electrical potential, you get this incredible amount of energy released. We see it in lightning. And it's certainly those principles that we've understood for the last 150 years that are put to use in electric motors, which do all kinds of things for us. And we can capture the work that is being done by that electric motor because of those differences in potential in the electric fields. And he said, so when I look at the world situation and I see these incredible differentials, that's an opportunity to do an incredible amount of work. And he saw that as an incredible potential for work for God, which is a completely different outlook than many of us take. And certainly, you know, we can get caught up seeing the trees and we miss the forest and we miss the 30,000 foot level that God's looking at and seeing the potential that takes place. Now, what he was describing is what the Apostle Paul told us about in the New Testament. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Because I think all of these three things tie together. Certainly time and chance happens. But in recognition of time and chance, we should be prepared. And we should be preparing. And when it does happen, because it will, time is going to catch up to all of us. And certainly, because we're human, we are going to be faced with chance consequences or chance occurrences that occur in life. But if we're prepared, then what we read here is what Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. He talks about his own situation. He says, "To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" See, this is a situation where there's a huge differential. "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong." And certainly that's what Paul recognized. He recognized that in the instances where we are faced with those chance occurrences that are certainly things that none of us want to deal with. A loss of a mate, a loss of a child, a loss of a parent, a financial disaster, any of those things are certainly not comfortable. But in the eyes of what Rabbi Lappin said, is they are opportunities. And certainly where there's a greater differential, there is certainly a greater outlook and a greater potential for good things to happen. That's all I have. Carol.
You're not, I want to clarify that you're not saying that we can somehow prepare ourselves against a terrible loss, because we're still going to feel the emotional devastation. We can't prepare for the depth of pain and hurt of a loss of the kinds that we've talked about lately. But by being, and when you say prepared, what comes to my mind is the kind of preparation that happens when we experience the presence of God, both on our own, alone, in a quiet stillness, and in our interactions with each other, because we certainly experience the presence of God through our relationships. Then that's where our hearts go for comfort.
Right.
When they are so completely broken.
Right.
And out of that comes amazing things.
The Bible tells us that, you know, there are people out there that have no hope, because they know when they are faced with chance and they are faced with occurrences that they simply have nowhere to go. And yet, you know, we will never be fully prepared to face those kinds of losses. But we are prepared in terms of a state of mind to know where we can turn, to know where the strength comes from and the comfort comes from and where those things lie. Right. That's correct. Gary.
I was just going to add a great sermon. I loved every bit of it. In business, the managers, the really good managers, always ask, what are my choices? What are my options? What can I do that will improve the situation? And a lot of times we don't really think about all of the options available to us. And this is humanly speaking as well as spiritually speaking. I mean, obviously we need God's comfort in what we do. But so often, humanly speaking, we have options we just don't consider or use or jump into.
In other words, we sort of stay stuck in that area. That's what you made me think of. But like he said, if we know where to go and we can get into gear into those things, then we can improve our state of mind, I guess. The situation probably can't change much. I mean, in some of these situations, it's not going to change. But, you know, if we get into gear in the right state of mind, then that'll help.
In a state of mind is a good way to put it, because, you know, if we've surrounded ourselves with God's Spirit, that is a different state of mind than being in a situation where you have no hope.
Wallowing in it.
Yes.
Whatever.
I can understand the rabbi's frame of mind, where he's coming from on that issue of the world situation having a lot of potential. We sigh and cry at what's happening. We know from God's word there's going to be a lot of pain, a lot of suffering, a lot of bloodshed in the years ahead. But we have to do our best to put on the mind of God the way he looks at everything, as far as what is the end result going to be. I mean, all these things that are happening are fulfilling prophecy. So that should be a joy to us, not the suffering and the pain and the death, but the fact that it's all going according to God's plan. That, you know, he can see the end of the story, we can see the end of the story, and I'm always reminded of what we learned in the past, something that was repeated over and over again. No matter what happens, we know the end of the story. We win.
Dennis.
When I think of a prepared mind, I think in the context we're talking about, I think of a number of scriptures. One of them is, well, the overriding principle or thought is that we know the end. What happens in between, we don't know. But we know it's going to, whatever, it'll all be taken care of. But a couple of scriptures that come to mind is Job 13:15, where Job said, "Though he slay me, yet I will trust in him." So he knows whatever happens, I still trust God. And of course we know, which we've repeated several times, is the example of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? They said, "God will protect us, no doubt about it. But if he doesn't, we'll still not bow down to them." So I think of that as a prepared mind. I don't care what happens. I'm still going to worship God. In fact, as you know, when Job lost his 8 kids, all his business, he had an incurable disease, he saw, "The Lord has given, the Lord has taken away, blessed be the Lord." I don't know what Satan can do to that. I mean, once you've got that frame of mind, it's all good from now on. It's just in the between might be a little bit rough. So I think that, for me, is the prepared mind to deal with, they call it, the vicissitudes of life.
Yeah, I think that's a very good, those Job and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are very good examples of that. They were prepared for whatever came along. Bonnie.
He used the Israelites as our example. When everything went well for them, they got away from God. And when they had trials, they turned back to him.
Right.
Eric. I also like the statement that the rabbi, you know, made, that of the big difference in right now. I think we need to be very cautious. I know here a couple years ago I made the statement on a regular basis that God's that the message had went out to the whole world in one sense, because I don't know that there's really people today that have not heard about God, Christianity, or the Bible. They know of those elements. Now, whether or not they choose to, but the problem now is the deception that comes with that message. You know, how many of us know Christians, professing Christians, that have one of those in their house? And when you question them about it, well, yeah, we understand that it may have had some pagan roots, but we don't keep it that way. We're keeping Christ in Christmas. And the deception that's coming in now from all different angles, we do need to be prepared for that, to realize that Satan is doing everything he can to twist that message to his benefit and, you know, take us away from God. You know, he wants us to hear God's law, because he can't stop that, but then he wants us to twist it to alter it, to change it, so that it fits our lives comfortably, the way we want our lives to be. And it's everything from money to relationships, to work, the Sabbath, you know, it just, any place he can, that deception's coming through. And like you said, it's a drastic change, and there's a lot of power in between that, you know, or potential in between.
Well, certainly I think it's important that, you know, not everything is preparation. There are some things are true preparation, and some things might look like it, but they really aren't. You know, if there's going to be a big calamity, you know, we may feel that having food in the basement is true preparation, but, you know, much of what occurs there is more of a spiritual and mental calamity than it is just having enough to eat. So being prepared spiritually and mentally may be much more important than just simply having, you know, 5 gallons of water in the basement. So, or an extra, you know, $1,000 in the bank to cover expenses or whatever. So, yeah, there is, I think it's important to understand what preparation is. And certainly it's, you know, knowing where your strength and your guidance comes from and maintaining that relationship. Anyone else? All right. Thank you. Let's sing.
End with 2:14. Yeah, meekness and majesty.
Majesty, my Lord and Deep.
Our great Heavenly Father, again, we just thank you so much for your many blessings, all of your love and your mercy that you pour out on us and our brethren around the world, Father. We just ask for your continued guidance in all things, that you show us your will and your way, and that you prick our hearts, soften them, Father, that we yield to your Spirit in all things. Father, just continue to show us how we can encourage and exhort one another and glorify you in all that we do. We just thank you for the ability to meet like this and ask that you bless any food that we'll partake of this afternoon and also the travel back to our homes. We just thank you for all this and ask it through your Son Christ's name. Amen.
Okay, ladies, if anybody's interested in talking about a potential Bible study, let's meet over by the table there by the window, if you don't mind, and we'll just chat for a few minutes.
Underneath the exit sign in the corner. Next to Heather and Paige.
Not necessarily the yearning.
Okay, everybody, it's time to meet. If you are at all interested at any point in time this entire year, if you're thinking that you might even one time volunteer at the VOA to serve a meal to the clients there, we need to talk, and I'll get everybody's emails and let you know a few business items, but we can meet at the podium up here near the stage, please.